We're glad that you're here this morning, and if you're visiting, welcome. And we are thrilled that we can be together to worship God because He deserves every bit of our being as we worship Him in spirit and in truth. We will remember Brother David, Brother Casey, as they go do this mission work in Mexico, and as we were remembering them, I hope that you will also remember our own children who will be going Tuesday for Cambodia and Nepal. Our son Nathan preaches at the Pine Castle congregation in Orlando, and he and Cheryl had been praying about the persecution in Nepal ever since they'd been hearing about it and been praying for a couple of months. And there was a family that walked into their assembly one Sunday morning, and as they reached out to them, they said, "Where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Nepal. And we have been searching for the true church for 2 months." And so, taking that as God's providence, Nathan and Cheryl determined that they would do more than just pray for the people of Nepal and the persecuted Christians on that side of the world, but they would actually go. And he asked and received permission from his elders to go for 2 months. And as he purchased the tickets to go, 2 days later is when the earthquake happened. So this was pre-earthquake intent. And you can imagine what you might go through and wondering if this was God's open door or shut door. Is this a way that God was shaking like an earthquake, that part of the world, and as in the book of Acts chapter 16, and the doors being open? They didn't know for a while, but they were convicted that they still needed to go. And so, because of logistics, what is the plan is that Nathan and his wife Cheryl and their three daughters, who happen to be our granddaughters, ages 7 and 4 and 9 months, will be heading over there. They will fly to Dubai. And then Cheryl and the girls will go into Cambodia, where they had done mission work for 3 or 4 years, where people know them, they know them. So they will go there, and then Nathan will go from Dubai to India and from India into Nepal. So they will be separated for 2 months. So please keep them in prayer. Please keep everyone. And I know there are a lot of people that have sacrificed to go. But of course, most of all, we are praying for those precious souls in Nepal and everywhere else where they do not know the Word of God and where people are suffering, because they need to have the hope that there is more than just this life. They need to have the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as you remember them in prayer, we remember Brother David and all the other good works in prayer, let's continue to ask that God will help us in this. Now, speaking of remembering, I wonder, has this ever happened to you? A fellow went to the doctor and he said, "Doctor, I just can't remember anything." He said, "I can't remember what happened yesterday." Now nod your head if this sounds familiar. "I can't remember what my car looks like." I've been where I couldn't remember where I parked it. That got me for about an hour one day. "I can't remember my own name." And the doctor says, "Well, how long have you had this problem?" And the patient said, "What problem?" Or how about two friends that were trying to remember the name of that restaurant that was on the lake, and they struggled about it. Finally, one of them says, "Say, what is the name of that flower? It smells good and it has thorns." And the other guy said, "You mean rose?" He said, "That's it." He turns to his wife and said, "Rose, what's the name of that restaurant that's out on the lake?" Well, as we struggle with memory, but we're going to be talking about this today, and we hope that it will be something that will be very encouraging to you. We'll be talking about not forgetting God and thinking about why we forget God. And we do. Why there is a danger of forgetting God, and what is that danger? And then we'll be talking about how God helps us remember, how he reveals himself. Well, and we'll leave this slide up for you to guide our thinking as you follow along with these things. Now, first of all, there are many ways and many reasons, and I guess you might say, there are excuses as to why we forget God. One is the fact that he's not visibly here among us. Let's just be logical about this. We don't physically see God amongst us. But the Bible says, in fact, the Bible says that he is invisible. And the Bible says that he is pure, he is powerful, and I'll find it. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, it says he is the king who is eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only wise God. The fact that we don't physically see him is sort of like, sadly, out of sight, out of mind. Well, there's another reason, and that is, this is sad, that we have so many earthly interests that grab our attention. You know that. I know it. I know it about my life. I get so distracted. Have you ever been so distracted or so self-occupied about something that later you realize, I did not even ask the person that I saw how they were doing. I completely forgot what they were struggling with. I completely forgot to ask about their family. I completely forgot to be personable with them. And that happened. One time that happened to me. I saw my cousin, and I was so preoccupied with what I was doing that I forgot to ask him all about his family. And sometimes that can be a very embarrassing thing. The Bible says in Proverbs 30 and verse 8 concerning being distracted by the things of the world. It says here, remove far from me vanity and lies, and give me neither poverty nor riches. A lot of us look at Proverbs 30 and verse 8 and say, yeah, I like that. I don't want to be rich. I just want to be able to pay my bills. Be able to enjoy life, so forth. That sounds good to me. Now, the writer of Proverbs tells what happens if you go off on either of these things. He says, feed me with food convenient for me. In other words, take care of me, God. Give me what I need. And this is what happens. If I don't depend on God, he says in verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. See, if we get rich, we'll forget God. If we have everything that we wanted, we just might forget God. I mean, initially we would say something like, God is good all the time. But eventually, if we had everything, think about it. If you had everything that you wanted, if life was perfect for you, if you had no struggles, if you had no problems at work, if you had no zero health issues, zero money issues, zero neighbor issues, zero this or that issue, then you might not have anything that you could think of to ask God. And the times we tend to remember him most are those times when we are in need. And that's how problems really do us good. They're good for us. If we had everything we wanted, we probably would forget him. Well, also, sin makes us forget God. Matthew 24, beginning of verse 12, Jesus said, and because of iniquity, it shall abound, the love of many shall grow or wax cold. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Because of sin, the love of many will grow cold. Now think about how true that is. And even on a personal level, and all of this has to start on a personal level. This morning in Bible class, we talked about receiving with meekness the engrafted word. And when we hear scripture, the first thing we need to do is say, how does this apply to me? And so we find Jesus saying, because of sin, we get where we don't love God as much. Conscience gets dull. Desires for other things grow bolder. And yet we are told in 1 John chapter 2, that's the way it's listed there, it's the way it's numbered, it's in John's first epistle. Verse 15, it says, do not love the world. Now that does not mean go around hating people. That's not what that means. But loving the world is in opposition to loving God. God, the world. James says if you're going to be a friend of the world, you're going to be an enemy of God. What that means is that if your desires are for fame, fortune, for power, and all the things that the world promises, but God does not, if that's your desire and if that's your goal, you're in opposition to God. So he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Well, there's a lot of reasons, and we'll call them excuses as to why we might forget God. But we need to know that forgetting God is a great sin. The Bible says it in several places, and let me go through these. I'll hit these kind of quickly, but just listen out for the fact that God is warning his people, do not forget me. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 18, Moses says, of the rock, that's capital R, as in that's God or Christ, in the New Testament he's described as, of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. To the Israelites in the wilderness, there was not a lot. There was, in some places, there was not much water. In some places, the water that they had was bitter. Some places they had, there was nothing to eat. So in the wilderness, as they left Egypt and they wandered in that desert for 40 years, they were given the manna, the bread from heaven. And they learned to depend on God and not on themselves. The book of Deuteronomy, by the way, covers that period of time. And it's written, or it's the words of Moses at the end of this 40-year wilderness wandering. It's almost like it's a sermon. In fact, some have said there you could break up Deuteronomy into three main sermons of Moses. And the main word of the book of Deuteronomy is the word remember. That's what it's all about. It is a review. In fact, the word remember is used 16 times. And it's so important that the Israelites remember what God had done for them in leading them out of Egypt and into the promised land eventually, that the book of Deuteronomy is quoted by almost every New Testament book. The book of Deuteronomy is quoted 83 times by 23 New Testament books. Because it's all about remember what God has done for you and remember what God expects from you. So remembering is pretty important. In the book of Job, probably the oldest book of the Bible, being about a man from the land of Uz. In chapter 8 and verse 13, it says, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Don't forget God. The psalmist said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Chapter 9 and verse 17. Psalm 50 and verse 22. "Now consider this, that ye forget God, lest I tear you to pieces, and there be none to deliver." And we read that and it just gets our attention. God does not want to be forgotten. I think we get it, right? God means business. How important it is that we remember Him. Forgetting God is a great sin because God has never forgotten us. The psalmist David said, "Where shall I go from thy spirit? Or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell," as in the grave, "behold, thou art there." The Hebrew word for hell is Sheol, meaning the grave. David says, "Wherever I could possibly go, I cannot get away from God." God claims our attention. He claims our obedience. And forgetting God is hurtful to us. If we forget God, we lose the blessings from heaven of guidance and support. And it is finally fatal. If we do not remember His love today, we may encounter His wrath tomorrow. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For He knows the secrets of the heart. Psalm 44 and verse 20. And then if we forget God, it leads to eternal consequences. And all you have to do is look at what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he's talking about the gospel. And he lays it out as being the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. That's the good news. That's what the word gospel means. And when he talks about the gospel, this is the sentence that he uses. He says, "By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I've preached to you, unless ye have believed in vain." You may be approached by someone who says, "Are you saved? Do you know you're saved?" And you may go, "Would you know right now if you died, you will go to heaven?" And you might go, well, "Are you sure without a doubt that you're going to be saved forever?" And say, "Well, I think so." Maybe the only thing that comes out of our mouth. And they'll go, "Aha! You're one of those. You're one of those that think you have to work your way to heaven and that you'll never be good enough. And so you hope that you'll go to heaven and you are always living in doubt." And the answer is no, no, no. The answer is the gospel of Christ saves us if, little word, we keep in memory that which was preached to us. That's what Paul said. That's the condition. That doesn't mean that we doubt the gospel of Christ. It doesn't mean that we doubt the power of the word. It means that I have a responsibility to follow through with that wonderful saving message and to continue faithfully to the end. And we can be confident that with what God has done through Christ Jesus, if we are faithful in Him, we can have that hope of eternal life. But in the process of seeing that, we see that the ultimate problem of forgetting God is not having salvation. So there are problems, there are dangers of forgetting Him, but the wonderful thing is how God has worked so hard for us on our benefit to make sure that we do not forget Him. And so thirdly, we want to see how God reveals himself. And he does that, first of all, in nature. And that's probably not the best word to use. If you've ever seen me get on a soapbox about this, and Brother Paul, I don't see a soapbox. You didn't put one up here, so I won't get on the soapbox. But if you like those documentaries about biology and all of that good stuff, and the title of it is Nature. Well, that's nice. It's lovely. I love that they're so informative, except when they start telling us how things got here. And the first word, almost the first sentence in these documentaries have to do with evolution. Why not change the name of the documentary from Nature to Creation? And give God the glory for putting everything that is here, here. Well, Romans chapter 1 tells us, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." I don't know if you went out. I think it was almost a full moon last night. I just kind of was behind the trees. It was a full moon last night. Anybody notice that? Anybody work for the hospitals and notice it got crowded in the ER, you know? They say that happens on a full moon. You ought to go out and look at a full moon sometime. Look at the stars. And if you haven't looked at the stars in a while, may I recommend that you find some time very soon to go out and look at them. The psalmist said, "When I consider the works of your hands," Psalm 8, "the moon and the stars." Psalmist said, we need to think about them. That would do us some good. He said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" By the way, you know that Psalm 8, that snippet from Psalm 8, has been on the top of Emerson Hall, the philosophy department at Harvard University. Psalm 8. "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Seems like years ago when they were chiseling out things to put on their building, somebody had enough good sense to put the Word of God there. Don't forget, go out and look and see his creation. Because Paul, the apostle, says that people can see these things. Being understood by the things that are made. God is understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. I would love to hear scientists describe stars and the distances and the temperatures and all of that stuff. It boggles my mind because it tells us of his eternal power and Godhead. And Paul says, so that they are without excuse. God reveals himself through his creation, is one way. Another way he reveals himself is, of course, through his providence. You know, we are grateful for what God does, his provisions. We think about, you know, when the good things happen to us, we don't call it a miracle. Miracle is when, you know, someone is raised from the dead. A miracle is when an iron axe head is at the bottom of the lake and a prophet raises it up and makes it float. A miracle is when the blind see, the lame walk. So there's a lot of things in this world that we're grateful for. They're not Bible miracles. We call these good things God's providence. And through his providence, he tells us about himself. And you see that in the lives of God's people. And over in Hebrews chapter 11, when they showed faith in God, God rewarded their faith and brought them along. Sometimes you see God's providence even when someone wasn't that strong. They can still look back and see God's goodness in their life. Speaking of God's goodness in their life, Joseph is the one that said to his brothers who had sold him into slavery. It was many years later, and he's face to face with him, and now Joseph has all the power. And he said to them, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save life." God works in our life. Romans 8 and verse 8, "For we know," Paul said, "that all things work together for good for those that love God." Thirdly, God reveals himself in his word. He teaches us who he is. He teaches us his plan. He teaches us his son, Jesus. He teaches us what to do to be saved, to be with him for eternity. And even the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, is not a book that we need to get all confused over. It's a book that we read, and even with the symbols and all of that, we see this point. "Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." The book of Revelation is a book of victory. And finally, we see that God reveals himself in his Son. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." When he was on earth, he said, "Have I not been you so long, Philip? With you so long, Philip? He who has seen me has seen" who? "The Father." Jesus revealed God, and God was revealed through his Son Jesus. Oh, the importance of us not forgetting God. And I pray this morning that we will do all that we can to make it so, to order our lives so that we'll be regular readers and prayers and assemblers and doers. And if we don't forget God, but if we are faithful to him, then we behold those words where God said, "Return, Israel, and I will hear your backslidings." We will hear, and we will hear, we will hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So if you're not in the covenant of God, you know that you're not, you haven't been obedient, you don't know what to do, the simple message is that God has spoken to us today through his Son. His Son says to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And there is even in that verse the warning against unbelief. If you don't believe, you will be lost. But it's good news that Christ came and died, and we have the opportunity today. We don't know if we'll have tomorrow, but today we do. This morning, this hour, this minute, if you need to turn back to God because you've been forgetting him and you want to make that right, then I hope you'll do it. If you need the encouragement of the church, who will pray with you and pray for you, and you have that need, I hope that you'll come and make that known as together we stand and as we sing this great song of encouragement.